Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Four Center Presents Databank Dive. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Kat Napsok, and here's what we do on Databank Dive. We go into the StarWars.com databanks, we pick a character, a location, a show, or a figure, or maybe it's a show, whatever's in the databank. If it's there, we'll randomly pick it, we'll present it to the other person. Today, Joseph's presenting to me, and we will discuss it. We did this on The Companion, a great sci-fi app. A first season is there if you want to check it out. Check out The Companion, do so as well. But this is our 21st episode of our public-facing version of Databank Dive. And Joseph, I'm excited to dive in to see what you got today for us.
Yeah, well, I was racking my brain for the wild, the weird, and the wondrous, and there was something that really got a very special highlight, in my opinion, in the Obi-Wan Kenobi television show that I wanted to spend some quality time with, and that is Luke Skywalker's T-16 Skyhopper, the real ship, and the toy. This is a bonus episode. This is like a fire sale at a mattress store. You're getting both. Both for the price of one. We're talking about the real ship and the toy.
This is amazing. Yes, this has this goes way back and also is so present today in Star Wars discussions. Love it.
Exactly. So here is what we do. We always start with the StarWars.com databank and see what they have to say, if they have anything to say. Sometimes the StarWars.com databank is shockingly silent, but yeah. Not so with Luke Skywalker. Here is what the databank has to say. A high-performance airspeeder capable of reaching a planet's troposphere. T-16 Skyhoppers were fast and maneuverable, a combination that could be dangerous for young pilots. Luke Skywalker owned a two-man Skyhopper, but burned out the instrumentation during a reckless trip through Beggar's Canyon. He was left to play idly with a model of his beloved craft until he could make the T-16 airworthy again. The controls of a T-16 were similar to those of a T-65 X-Wing, which allowed Luke to join the rebel attack on the Death Star at Yavin. That is jam-packed with comedy and canon to make sure everything makes sense for everybody. You have any reactions to that databank entry?
It's amazing. By the way, you said Luke's with an apostrophe, Luke Skywalker, but it sounded like you said Luke Skywalker to me. And I was like, that's exciting too. What if that had been the name?
His weird cousin.
That is his cousin. This is great. This is great. It connects so much. A lot of it, as we'll discuss here, things I didn't, even though I grew up with this ship, I didn't grow up with a lot of this knowledge. It's so weird. It's something, a lot of it came to me late in Star Wars, connecting all the dots. Of course, a lot of it is in A New Hope, but yeah, I just looked at this ship in a special way. So love what it's saying here. So much there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, I always knew the line T-16, but I didn't quite realize that was the model he was playing with. It took me a long time to notice that the actual ship is back there in the garage. I remember when the Power of the Force 2 action figure line came out and they actually made a T-16 Skyhopper. I was like, will anything else ever be this deep cut again? And I was young and naive. The answer to that is yes. But at the time, it felt like this is so deep bench to have a toy of the T-16 Skyhopper.
Yeah. You and I are in the same spot where, you know, now it's, this wouldn't get past anybody. You'd have 39 YouTube videos up within an hour of here's what's in the background. This ship is this. And I love those videos. Obviously we're pals of Star Wars Explained Himself, Alex and Molly. And I love those videos, but we didn't have that growing up. So therefore I never saw that ship. I never connected it. And I don't care what edition of New Hope I saw. I just never connected it and never thought that the T-16 back home was what he was playing with. I just never connected. It's a little Star Wars blind spot, I guess.
Yeah, no, and it's one of those things that it's a different time and you are rewarded differently. And it still happens, but in a different way where you see something in the background and you connect this to that. And you get more rewards, more explosions of joy down the line, which is certainly what the T-16 is. Maybe not joyful for the Womp Rats. We'll talk about that. Anyway, we always go to Wikipedia to see what they have to say, because they often have much more to say than the databank. This really cracked me up. If you go to, Wikipedia or other sites, you know, if it's something that is a common name or wildly different things, you'll get the, differentiation notice, right? I don't see those that often in Wikipedia. There's a couple things in Star Wars, but this one just cracked me up. It says real big at the top of the T-16 Skyhopper article. This article is about Luke's real Skyhopper. You may be looking for his toy replica. It's just a little bit of judgment in the way it's phrased in this disambiguation.
It really is. Awesome.
Yeah. So clearly, I think there's a little bit of valuing the real first. So we'll read that one first. Then we'll talk about the toy.
It really does sound like that. You look like someone who only plays with toys.
You may not go hard enough for the real Skyhopper, so maybe you need to start with the toy and build your way up to reading about the real Skyhopper. Here's what they have to say about the real Skyhopper. Skywalker often took joyrides in his Skyhopper, where he would use Womp Rats as target practice with his friend Wyndham Marstrap, or race through Beggar's Canyon with his friend Big Starkglider. After an incident where Skywalker threaded the needle during a dangerous high-speed run through Beggar's Canyon, the T-16 ended up severely damaged. Luke was forced to leave his Skyhopper at home while it was undergoing repairs. It was docked in the Lars Homestead garage when Skywalker's uncle purchased the droids C-3PO and R2-D2.
All right. Wow.
Good, solid, straightforward stuff. I would assume Wyndham Marstrap is more famously known as Windy.
Yes.
But it's like, who's this? I didn't know Luke had a friend who was an English banker from 1882. Who's Wyndham Marstrap?
Like any good baseball team. Just given the nickname of Windy. See? Get it? Your name's Wyndham. We call you Windy.
They call you Indy. Any reactions to those basics from Wikipedia?
This just reads like a wonderful summary of comics I have read, but maybe forgotten or haven't read.
Yeah, the specificity of threading the needle. Mm-hmm. I believe the needle is that one big outcropping that we see a couple different places in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Nice and straightforward. Not a ton of other stuff. So we move on to the toy. A toy T-16 Skyhopper was owned by the human male Luke Skywalker. In 9 BBY, the Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi purchased the toy from the Jawa Tika after they had brought it to him in his cave on Tatooine. Kenobi left the toy outside of Skywalker's home, but Skywalker's uncle, Owen Lars, returned it to him the next day and informed the Jedi Master to stay away from his family. Sometime later, Reva Sevender, a former Inquisitor of the Galactic Empire, attacked the Lars in an attempt to kill Skywalker. Lars allowed Kenobi to meet Skywalker, and he gave the toy to the young boy. Yes, he did. Yes. I know it might be a controversial moment, but man, I love that moment. Any reaction to the description of the toy T-16 Skyhopper?
Again, sounds like a TV show that we all watched, and I love it. Look, there's a lot here and a lot to the toy, and you're right. I guess that final sequence could be controversial if you're just someone who likes Star Wars but doesn't want or need everything to connect. And I don't think it's as simple as just, oh, we get the story to the toy. It's just pretty powerful use of the symbol that this toy is for Luke and the life that he wants. So therefore, I'm with you. It's a great moment. The stuff with Owen, you want to meet him? I know that moment is great for you, and I love hearing you talk about it, but it's all there. And also, again, we're not done talking about it. This is a toy in Star Wars. The meta levels are just off the charts. So I love everything about it, and just makes me actually want to rewatch Kenobi.
Yeah, no, there's so many things that make me want to rewatch Kenobi. So we'll keep moving on our podcast so we can make some quality Kenobi time. How would you physically describe the T-16 Skyhopper, both the real one and the model version, since the model is shockingly accurate to the real ship?
I'm calling this a geometric masterpiece. Just a lot of angles and triangles and quadrangles and rectangles. It is, you got the center, which is kind of a little bit of a floating, I guess you could say that's the triangle part for me. It's not unlike a Lambda class shuttle, but it'd be a precursor for us there. So you got a triangle to sit in, and you got wings just akimbo everywhere, just three wings, the top, the two coming out. And it's heavily armed, at least some of the photos I'm looking at. I don't think Luke's is as armed as some of the ones that I'm looking at this concept or this art piece. Might be from a comic or something. It's got a blaster underneath, but Luke's probably had something because, as we know, he liked to bullseye womp rats. So there you go. It's a bunch of flying shapes coming at you fast.
It really is. We're going to the same thing. The overall, you know, shapes do make me think triangle. There are a lot of different triangles from lots of different angles. So when I think of the T-16 Skyhopper, I think, hey, what if a triangle was angry? it looks like it's so aggressive, right? It's moving fast. Mm-hmm. It's got that big cannon. I know for myself, one of the ways that I interacted with the T-16 a bunch was in some of the Rogue Squadron games for Nintendo. That was your practice ship when they were teaching you how to do different things. And to get various gold medals, I spent a lot of time zipping around Beggar's Canyon in a T-16 Skyhopper. So there's that sort of physical, like, what does it look like in the real world? What does it feel like? But I think the other way that I like to picture the way it looks is it's kind of like it's a stripped down car, right? It looks like a car that's been kind of built to be all engine and wheels, except for with T-16 Skyhopper. It's like all engine and wings. Like, yeah. There's no comfort seating. This is about going fast. This isn't about being comfy on a long journey or having much protection.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if there are seat belts in the two seats of Luke's Skyhopper.
No.
So there's something about how stripped down it is that's really cool to me.
Absolutely. I'm looking close at the toy, too, the toy prop. Your description of that cockpit is pretty accurate. It just looks like a ledge in an apartment.
he's flying around in just basically a little closet that he wants to live in.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, great. Oh, and it's got a little handhold. Anyway, for you, what is the magic of the Skyhopper? What does the ship and the toy add to the legend of Star Wars?
The ship and the toy, as seen in A New Hope, an experience in A New Hope, represents one of our favorite things around here, a phrase you know and say. It's the tip of the iceberg storytelling. So even though I didn't grow up thinking, again, it's one of those weird Star Wars things, which seems weird now, which is you have Wikipedia, you have all these videos and these Easter eggs and this and that, and here's the connections. And in 83 for me, watching Return of the Jedi and The New Hope and Empire, like, I didn't necessarily need to connect it. All I knew is that Luke owned this ship. That's why he could fly an X-Wing. Luke had a toy that he was dreaming about because I had toys I was dreaming about. And it's truly just him speaking about his past, a past I'd yet to learn about. And, you know, as always, I love getting more information. I don't need all the blanks filled in, but I do enjoy them because I'm a Star Wars fan and I like it. And I like when they connect. I like when there's emotions behind the connections and the whys. So I think we're just now getting what I was dreaming about in the early 80s for me with the Skyhopper. I knew the X-Wings. I could collect the X-Wings. I couldn't collect the Skyhopper, but it was a part of Luke's story to that point. And I was always there for that. And I think it's a certain bit of magic that it represents.
No, I think that's very well said. I think the idea of we're seeing just a little bit of Luke's past, just that little tiny detail that fleshes out who he is as a person and what kind of world he lives in. And I think the ideas that they represent to me is the ship itself, right? Him having that ship, him having practiced on it, to the point where he can kind of figure out these controls of the X-Wing, you know, that can kind of lead into the, like, let's make sure things are explained. But just the fact that he has the ship and he loves it and he was really good at it. Right. And Biggs gives him props for it. Kenobi gives him props for how great he is in it. There's this direct tie to real world youth culture and I guess youth of all ages. But this this need for personal freedom that vehicles can represent of being restless and wanting to move fast, wanting to take risks. And I think that part of it is really about youth. The T-16 is really a symbol of feeling stuck in your hometown, no matter how big or small it is, and needing some agency, needing to fly, needing to move, needing to go a little faster than you should. So you don't learn just by having adults tell you that's a bad idea. When you almost crash into the needle in Beggar's Canyon, you'll learn that for yourself, which sometimes people have to do. It's such a tie to some of the ideas that Lucas was exploring in American Graffiti about growing up and about what car culture really means. So I think that is going on with the actual ship, right? And then the toy, you know, it just banks into Star Wars that we're all Luke Skywalker, right? That toys are where we start. Toys are where we dream. And if we can't fly a real spaceship, we'll get a toy one and we'll make it go zoom, zoom, zoom with our hands and our mouths, just like Luke Skywalker did in the first film.
Yep. The amount of times I've sat on a couch and grabbed like the TV remote and just flown it like a spaceship. Anything's a toy.
that little scene, that scene tells us so much about who Luke is, right? That he can't even sit still without dreaming of flying. That's how desperate he is to head toward the horizon. The moment of staring at the twin suns is a deep version of I need to get out there. There's a bigger destiny for me. And the plan with his little model is the comedy moment of the same thing, you know?
Absolutely. And you talk about nostalgia being baked into Star Wars, particularly New Hope. This is part of it. Like Lucas knew, like, yep, we all did this. We all sat and dreamed, and toys represent that. Don't even need to talk about the Star Wars toys yet. It's just what he was putting in there. I love that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then that ties back to, you know, why Kenobi gave it to him in the first place, which we will perhaps talk about more when we come back from this quick break.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs.
Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we are back with more Databank Dive. We are discussing not just a T-16 Skyhopper, the real vehicle, but also the toy version. The model? The toy? What's the difference between those nouns? So we talked a little bit about the physical description. We talked about the big picture magic of both the ship and the toy. We're going to get into some details. Ken, what do you think of a toy existing that is an exact replica? What does that tell us about the toy industry in the Star Wars galaxy, that there's an exact replica of the T-16 Skyhopper?
It's so interesting because we have some other versions of toys all the way through Star Wars. Even recently, Cyril Karn had some Clone Wars models, action figures in his room. We've seen stuff. Even young Jin had homemade toys. He had some toys that might have been more organically made out of resources. And you got this T-16. This makes me think, I don't want to get to conspiracy theory here, but that the makers, the model makers, the makers of the T-16 knew that to boost sales, this is what you put the toy out there. Put the toy out there. I'm not saying Big Otto was behind my Matchboxes and Hot Wheels.
They didn't mind them, though.
Didn't mind them. I collected them. My parents thought I was going to be a car guy. It turns out that ended up not being the case. Can't change my oil. Was taught and decided not for me. And I just take the cars I have. But I was obsessed with cars growing up, like Matchbox, Hot Wheels. I'd spin the wheels as a one-year-old, just flip the cars over, just spin them for hours. It was a weird thing. There was like, what's going on with the little Kenny over here with cars? So I really respect that the toy industry in Star Wars would put out exact replicas to make you think about them, to make you play with them, make you dream. So I want to know more about the Star Wars toy industry. Who's making the models for Cyril? Who's other than the locals or maybe Galen and Lyra themselves making toys for Jin? Who's handcrafting the artisan ones that you find, like, say, if you go to Carmel by the Sea and you can get an artisan sweater or a toy shop that has like wood blocks. You're like, where's Lego? I want Lego. No, you got these ones. So it's a different version and it makes me think about it in a way I hadn't thought about it.
Yeah, I think that's what's fascinating to me about it, because there are lots of examples of sort of a crude handmade toys. Mm-hmm. Even if you go to Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland or Disney World, and everything's, you know, trying to be sort of in universe, and they kind of have some of those, like, here's a crude mm-hmm. carving of a figure, a famous figure from the galaxy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jin's toys are like that. We got that great Kevin Scott toy or story where Obi-Wan carves mm-hmm. kind of a little ship for Luke. And the thing that's great about this, it's baked into the first Star Wars film, so it's not like new information.
Yeah.
But it's like, wait a minute, was there a giant, you know, exact replicas corporation? Did the corporation exact replicas, did they side with the separatists? Were they selling like just absolutely great models of Trade Federation ships, you know, the separatist dreadnoughts? But there's something about Tatooine, the sort of the remoteness of it, the way that Tika comes across this broken model, that I like to think it's not a corporation. This is my headcanon.
Yeah.
My headcanon is that someone living in Mos Eisley got sick of all the, like what you're describing of like these little artisan carved wooden blocks, like boring. I want an exact replica. And that they started a weird family business that's basically Star Wars Hot Wheels. We're like, we're going to make, we got the materials, we got the talent, we're going to make exact replicas. And, you know, some kid threw that away and Tika took it out of the trash, and that's how it got where it was.
That's fantastic. A Star Wars eBay.
Jawas are really just the Star Wars eBay, aren't they? So do you think Luke, you know, went out and bought an actual ship that matched his toy? Obviously, you can find people who've, yep, I grew up with this Hot Wheels and I sought out that car. But we know the canon. I think he had the toy first, right? So do you think he was like, I'm so inspired by the toy, that's the ship I need, period?
I really think that's how it works, going back to what we're talking about the toy industry, about the makers of this toy, whatever their intention. If this was it, it worked. I think he grew up playing with this toy, dreaming this toy. We've seen him, you know, pretending to fly in the Kenobi show, zooming his way without the toy, just riding the building there. So I think it worked. Yeah, you know, this is something that didn't necessarily work on me. I did not have a toy Ford Fairmont when that became my first car, and I that was your first car as well. And I don't think you had a toy Ford Fairmont. So
no,
not the journey I had. But yeah, absolutely, it makes sense because he's obsessed with it. It's truly, like you said, car culture, ship culture, whatever you want to look at it. And, you know, you're on Tatooine. He is kind of remote. I don't know how many times he went into town growing up, but it definitely, we know Anchorhead and all that kind of stuff. I think as he got older, he probably saw these. It was a dream, and he probably bothered Uncle Owen until Uncle Owen finally said, all right, fine. You work a couple extra, you know, shifts in the field with the droids. I'll help you get this. I'll put a down payment on your first ship. And I think that's the story there.
Yeah, me too. I think this is one of the things that's magical about Kenobi gifting it to him at the end. I really understand people who are just a little fed up with, you know, too many connections, too many, and that's where this came from. I really get that concern. But for me, I always try to look for what's the idea behind it. And Obi-Wan was obsessing on needing Luke to be ready for the fight that was coming, right?
Yeah.
And to protect him, right? And by the end, Obi-Wan had this great sort of acceptance of the best training he could have for his future is to just be a kid and grow up. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give him this toy and it's going to let him dream and it's going to let him, you know, follow this longing for excitement, for adventure, for himself, right? Out of play, coming out of play. And I love that's the spirit that Obi-Wan gave it to Luke with. And I love the idea that Luke spent so much time playing with that toy and dreaming about not being like Owen and just staying safe at all times, but going out there and having fun and excitement and finding out what's around the next corner of Beggar's Canyon and seeing how fast he can go. That all of that dreaming of being a part of the bigger galaxy came through that toy. And it's what Obi-Wan wanted. And then I love the idea that he gets to a certain age, Wyndham Marstrap gets a T-16 Skyhopper and Luke's like, I'll do anything. I will scrub any part of those evaporators for any number of hours to increase my allowance so I can get the exact ship I've been dreaming of. Oh, I love it.
I love too that it's, in a way, it's a secret weapon for Kenobi, right? And that, all right, fine. You don't want me to give him the lightsaber? Got it. But the toy's there. Not that Kenobi was thinking maliciously about Owen, but it works on a lot of ways. So love that.
Yeah. But when Kenobi's like, I've heard you've become such a great pilot yourself, quite a good pilot yourself. It's like, and it's because of that toy, isn't it? How do you feel about Luke using the ship to shoot animals? Is it time for justice for the Womp Rats?
I love Luke Skywalker and his cousin Luke Skyhopper, but I think this is I don't stand for this. Here's the thing. I don't know what Womp Rats do. Maybe they kind of need to be eradicated from time to time. You know, I'm a big fan of squirrels, as you are. We leave them alone. But the rats come into our house here, and, you know, I got to deal with them. But I'm one who goes out of his way to find natural ways to keep the rats away, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it doesn't work. So maybe the Womp Rats cause some problems. So maybe Luke is doing that. Maybe it starts there. But, you know, sport hunting and a skyhopper, I just want better from you, Luke. Just want better from you.
No, I agree. I think it is a signpost on Luke's growth. He's like, yep. I don't think Jedi Master Luke is reflecting back. He's like, it's all connected. We're all part of nature. There's natural cycles. Hey, remember when I murdered those Womp Rats?
Yeah.
For target practice. To be fair, I looked them up on Wikipedia. They are known as pests. Sometimes they hunt in swarms. Okay. I think they're meant to be like scary desert raccoons. Mm-hmm. I get it. I had a raccoon living behind the wall of my bedroom in a house, and there was scratching every night. And then we had the animal control person come over and go like, yeah, no, that's a raccoon. And just so you know, they could burst through that wall anytime they want, and they'll be right on your head. There's nothing you can do to stop it. They can come through that wall if they want.
Cocaine raccoon.
Exactly. It was like cocaine raccoon. I got a lot of raccoon stories. It was a totally humane thing. They, you know, used hormones to make them go away. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. But that wouldn't have been as powerful a line in New Hope of like, I've made Womp Rats go away with hormones. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So I like that your phrase. It's a growth point for Luke. Look, there's not a lot to do on Tatooine. Womp Rats cause some problems. So I'm not holding Luke to the flame too hard here, but I'm glad he's moved past that.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think the ultimate fate of Luke Skywalker's T-16 is? I guess I was thinking most of the real ship, but we could throw the toy in there. Was it burned in the fire? Did at any point Luke go back and repair the ship? Did the old lady from Rise of Skywalker steal it? Is that why she was concerned that somebody was there?
Look, much as I love connections in Star Wars, I'm glad we didn't have Rey finding a broken, burned toy version of it. Glad the old lady didn't say, "You want anyone there want the toy back?" But as far as the T-16 itself and the toy, I think the answer is the answer. I think it was burned. I think it was destroyed. I think even you know, the stormtroopers would have specifically ransacked the garage and destroyed any chance of anyone leaving or telling the tale of what happened there. So, I don't, it's not a good fate. I think both are gone, buried by the sands of time.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And I do love connections in Star Wars. I do understand that we're in an era where we've maybe had a few too many. So I'm not needing a story of what happened to Luke Skywalker right now, maybe down the line. But my headcanon is, it was horribly burned. But I think Jawas definitely swooped in, and I want to imagine that they built like a little rooftop gazebo on top of one of the sand crawlers out of the remains.
Ooh, that's a great idea. Like if you take one of those wings and just prop them up, you've got yourself an awning. You got yourself a gazebo up on top of that sand crawler.
You got yourself an awning. That's a great Jawa phrase. So I think we're both on the same page of, you know, we don't need the detailed backstory of what happened to the Skywalker, or the Skyhopper vehicle or toy right now. But do you want the vehicle, not Luke's, but somebody else's? Do you want Skyhoppers to show back up in new stories?
I do. I'm looking at a show like Bad Batch. You could bring in, you know, an animated version of it that someone has, maybe a clone out on the run or some settlers on a faraway planet that the Bad Batch runs into or something. I'd absolutely love to see them in action. Again, I know there's been some appearances in comics or something like that, Legends, of course, but like, yeah, in a new way. I don't need to be a super highlight. This is episode 4 of Kenobi season 2 called the Skyhopper episode. No, I don't need that. But to see them in action, just be kind of fun after all these years. It would be fun to experience as a Star Wars fan.
Yeah, no, I would love that. If Skyhoppers across the galaxy are starter vehicles for eager teens, maybe we'll get to see one in Skeleton Crew, since that's kind of the
great call.
Demographic we're dealing with.
Yeah, and it does seem like, it feels like that's a great example or a possibility. Or seems like maybe it's Mandalorian has gotten too big in scope and epic, as they keep saying season 3 is going to be, but it would have been a perfect season 1 vehicle for someone to have. Not Mando, but for someone to have.
Maybe by season 4 or season 5 of Mandalorian, Grogu will get his own Skyhopper.
Yeah.
We always like to make it personal here. Do you want exact toy replicas of every vehicle you've ever owned? You didn't have one growing up, but do you want them now? If you could get a suite of, here's all the vehicles I've owned. Now they're in toy form and I can go zoom, zoom, zoom.
I absolutely would love that. I think I finally stopped because I had to turn the phones in, but I have every cell phone I've owned up until my iPhones. And then you start having to like turn them back to get a discount on your new one. But yes, I'm one of those kind of people. I don't necessarily know that's good or bad. So, and I did grow up with Hot Wheels and Matchbox toys. Still have a bunch of them in storage. Not good condition because I played with them. But yes, I would love this. A 1981 Ford Fairmont. Then we got a 91 Plymouth Colt. Chevy Lumina 1990 and a 1999 Infiniti, 2004 Camry, and now a 2002 Mustang. I got all the crappy cars and I want figures and toys of them. Yes. Yes, we do. I remember them, so I want them.
Yeah. No, me too. I hate parting with old cars, and like I've tried to give them to charities when I can, and hopefully they make a difference. But I love collecting things. I have all sorts of ancient IDs and phones as well.
Yeah.
And man, if I could, when a car finally goes, if I could shrink it and add it to my toy collection,
that's a service.
Yeah, I have my 1979 gray Ford Fairmont, my 1978 blue Ford Fairmont, the 1989, I think, Subaru station wagon stick shift.
Ooh, we had an 86. My family had an 86 blue Subaru. Oh, station wagon. That's amazing.
It was amazing. It was great for hauling props for comedy sketches.
That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely a toy of my blue Toyota Yaris now.
Yeah.
Fun to think about. But if you had a real Skyhopper and you wanted to do something dangerous with it here in Los Angeles, what would you do with your real T-16 Skyhopper?
Ooh, I'd buzz everyone on Runyon Canyon because I go hiking in Griffith Park, not up to Runyon, which is the more popular trendy location. But I think I'd buzz people over there. You know, it's like buzzing hikers on Runyon Canyon, I'd tell Biggs.
Yeah, I would try to demonstrate my absolute control by hovering in line at an In-N-Out. If you're not from the Los Angeles area, they often have backups as people go through the drive-thrus. You got to be ready on Cahuenga in particular to dodge around. You'll go past and like, what's going on? Is there a backup to the freeway? Was there an accident? No, it's Tuesday and people want In-N-Out. That would be the ultimate way to put, you know what a good pilot he is? He piloted the T-16 through the pickup line at In-N-Out. Amazing.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
All right. We have made it to our final rating. We always like to rate the wild, the weird, the wondrous factor of the T-16 Skyhopper. Our rating is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos, that is Lobot. So out of 10 Lobot heads, one being the least, 10 being the most, how many Lobot heads do you give the T-16 Skyhopper?
Look, this is one of the ones where I'm going to say it's low. It's like a four for me because it just works. I connected with it even when I wasn't fully aware what it was. Clearly, for years, I didn't feel the need to connect. I just knew it was a spaceship from Luke's past. And that just seems so normal because it connected to my life, which is part of the magic. So in terms of design, you know, this geometric masterpiece, that's a little weird. But what it represented is so so real to me that it doesn't seem weird, which I like.
Yeah, I generally agree with you. I went a little bit higher on my Lobot heads. I went to 6.5 Lobot heads. Yeah, the design is kind of funky and different, even different within the language of A New Hope. So that makes it kind of weird. But you're right. It's so relatable. It's so real world what the T-16 Skyhopper represents to Luke and his pride in it. I'm edging it up to be a little bit more weird because he has an exact replica, and unless we're mistaken, we currently don't know where it came from.
Yes.
If it's a custom piece or part of a large corporation that was part of the Separatist Alliance. We don't know, and that makes it weird.
I like that. I'll take it.
All right, there we go. Those are our Lobot heads. Feel free to let us know your Lobot heads about Luke Skywalker's T-16 Skyhopper, the real one, and the toy. You can find links to all things Force Center on our Twitter at Force Center Pod. That's the best one-stop shop to find all the different places we're at, including YouTube, where we are trying to build our presence as we've got some plans to do some more stuff with YouTube. We are trying to get to 7,000 followers on there. I forget what the correct noun is. Subscribers. There we go. So if you would like to know the correct noun and subscribe to us on YouTube, just search for YouTube on Force Center. Ken, where can people find you?
You can find me at Kednapsock or go to my website, kednapsock.com, for more.
And you can find me on all the social medias at Joseph Scrimshaw. And you can check out my YouTube channel by searching Joseph Scrimshaw as well. But for now, for myself, for Ken, for that beautiful toy that Obi-Wan Kenobi gave Luke Skywalker, this has been Data Bank Dive.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.